Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Oh yeah, a thousand smiles. Effervescent, always happy. Mm-hmm. After yesterday, no. This has been a very rough day for me, just as it has been for all Jaguars fans. When you're 2 weeks into the season and you're 0-2, and you feel the football season slipping away, even this early, even with a team that should not have given us much in the way of expectations, there is nonetheless a element of despair. So what I have done for tonight's show is this. Normally, I start it with a guest, and then at the midway point, we shift gears and go to the phone lines. Tonight, no guest. I have cleared the deck. This is for you tonight. You want to talk about yesterday's game? Give us a call. I will play doctor. I will play best friend. I may play worst enemy too. I'll give it to you straight. I'll give you my thoughts, and I'm ready to take yours on the game. I understand that there is a lot of angst about yesterday's game. I really, in some ways, don't understand it because the angst isn't matching the attendance. And I've got a little problem with that. You know, I'd like for all this passion to be showing itself in the way of attendance. But nonetheless, I know it's a bad economy. And maybe, you know, at this point in time, all we can do is lean on our passion for the Jaguars. I know I have a lot, and I know you do, too. And this is your show tonight. No guest. You're the guest. You're the other guy in this room. You're the other guy in this studio, the other person in this studio. And I will listen to you, and I might agree with you, or I might get testy. It's been that kind of a day. Anyhow, before we do that, the phone lines have already lit up, and I will make sure you all get on, I promise you. Just before we start with that, because Joe is now collecting the calls, let me tell you about today's 4:15 p.m. press conference with Jack Del Rio, his usual day after the game, weekly day after the game press conference, and a review of his review of the game from having watched the tape, et cetera. And the thing that jumps out right away is that Jack was angry at his defense's poor tackling. That was the thing that was most clear about his attitude in yesterday's post-game interviews and interview session with him. And today it was he was no less angry. There's no other way to say it. He's angry. He's angry at the way at his team's poor tackling. He's angry because he and his defensive coaching staff accurately anticipated the Cardinals would come with a short passing attack, a three-step drop attack, and they knew that it was going to have to be, catch and tackle. Yards after the catch had to be denied, and they weren't denied. And Joe, let's go to the call. So we don't waste any time. Let's go right to them. I know you have been waiting for this opportunity to blister this team, and here it is. And let's start with Greg. In where? West side. Greg on the west side. Greg, good evening.
You
got to
get those abbreviations down. WS would be west side.
That's Brian usually does that stuff. By the way, I can't hear myself. Can you turn me up a little bit?
I can do that.
Please do that. And Greg, I can hear
you,
Greg.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Vic. First of all, let me tell you, I was
I was there yesterday watching you, and sat down and watched you and Jeff do the pregame show while it was raining a little bit. Thanks for coming out and sticking with us.
Sure.
I honestly am not all that upset yesterday. I mean, we got torn apart by a Super Bowl quality quarterback. I mean, it's Kurt Warner, and design it what you want. He's still Kurt Warner. He can pick you apart. So.
No, that wasn't Kurt Warner did that. But you're right. Now, this is a great quarterback. This is a great quarterback. Yeah. I've come around to that thinking. I didn't believe he was a great quarterback last year when everybody wanted me to induct him into the Hall of Fame. I'm still not inducting him into the Hall of Fame, but he proved in last year's postseason, especially in the Super Bowl against a great defense, and he's still proving that he really is a cagey veteran. He's a guy that can make for a long day, and he made for a long day for the Jaguars yesterday. But listen. Look at what he's throwing to Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin and Steve Breston, and they just keep coming off the bench. There was another guy that they brought in off the bench yesterday, 85, I believe. Let me get Urban. I forget his first name. It was like Jerhemony or something like that. Urban, real good-looking guy. And then the Cardinals, on top of all that, the Cardinals may have the best stable of young running backs in the league. I mean, they've got talent. That's a powerhouse team.
Here is my one concern, and this is the one thing I'd like to ask your opinion on.
Yeah.
Are we or are we not ready to admit that we need to look at getting another quarterback? I mean, I'm sorry, I love David Garrard. I think he's a great guy, but I just don't see him having the ability or the tools to effectively scan the field for his various options. Yesterday I saw a play where Torrey Holt opened in the flat for 4 seconds, and nobody within 10 yards, and he goes to the opposite side of the field. And that's where I see the issue is it starts with Garrard.
Well, Greg, I knew you were calling tonight. I knew you were going to call, and I knew you were going to ask that question. So I anticipated, just as well as Jack Del Rio and his defensive staff anticipated what the Cardinals would do, and here's what I mean. At this afternoon, late this afternoon's press conference, I asked the no-no question. Do you know what question that is? The question is, I blurted out, and flogged me for having done this. I mean, you just don't do this. I thought the room was going to explode with silence. I asked the question to Jack Del Rio, is David Garrard still your starting quarterback? And the answer was very emphatic. David is our starter. Now, that's part of the answer. Now, here, the second part of the answer is opinion. It's my opinion. Let's go back to 2007 when the guy had a hell of a year, when the guy played well. No question about it. Nobody can deny that. What did he have in 2007? What didn't happen to him in 2007 that's happening now? And the answer is he didn't get hit. He didn't get hit much. He was able to stand in the pocket with confidence. Now, there are two trains of thought. There are two opinions being advanced, two theories being advanced today based on what I'm hearing. There are those, and I belong to this club, who believe David Garrard is getting hit too much. And when a quarterback gets hit, some quarterbacks get happy feet. Some quarterbacks peak at the rush. And there are signs of that happening with David, from what I've been told. I talked a little bit about this with Jeff Logman this afternoon. There are signs of that. And then the other train of thought is that David is not getting back to the depth of the pocket quickly enough. He's not getting his feet set. He's not getting ready to throw, and that's why there's a hesitation in the ball coming out. Now, whatever the train of thought is, the one thing I can tell you for sure as someone who has covered this league for 38 years is I don't care if it was Terry Bradshaw, who I covered, or David Garrard, who I'm covering, or Mark Brunell, or Mark Malone, or Bobby Brister, or Steve Berline, or Steve Matthews, or I don't care who. I mean, I've covered a lot of quarterbacks. The bottom line is when these guys get fidgety, they're no good. When they get bumped, when they get hit, they change. They get antsy. A quarterback can get great protection on 20 consecutive plays. But if he gets one blindside job, if he gets one axe handle to the head, it's he may change for the whole game. And yes, they should never be anything but fearless. They should never have anything but courage. But they're human beings. And frankly, David Garrard got whacked around pretty good in Indianapolis. None of that was his fault. And I think there was a carryover effect. I think he was a little antsy in this game on Sunday. But I will ask you this. Is he to blame for an 83-yard touchdown return of a blocked field goal? Is he to blame for consecutive drops in the end zone, through the hands, off the head? Is he to blame for an opening drive, 75-yard opening drive for a touchdown? Is he to blame for the Cardinals being allowed to rush for 118 yards? And here's the big one. Please, Greg or anybody else, tell me how many times you should have a realistic expectation for winning when you have allowed the other quarterback to complete 92.3% of his passes. That is not a formula for victory. Allowing a completion percentage, a record-setting completion percentage of 92.3, and allowing a touchdown, an 83-yard touchdown return of a blocked field goal attempt, is not a winning formula. That is not a formula for winning football games. Now, I know with that we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to come back and get more of these calls. I promise you, as I said, if you call in here, you will go on this air.
Very good, Victor. And you want to talk to Vic? Real easy to do. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. If you're calling from outside the area, 1-800-355-NFL1. Don't forget, you can enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for details. Victor's back. Keep it right here. Jaguars Monday, News Talk Radio, WOKV. All right, gang, the Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a whole lot of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. You can save on things like Jags gear to money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants and a lot more. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. If you want to talk to Vic, easy to do, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, outside the Jacksonville calling area. The call is free, 1-800-355-NFL1. It is free because Victor cares.
That's right. Hey, Joe, is it all right for me to plug Jeff's TV show?
Of course.
Okay. My buddy Jeff Logman works all day Monday, looking at the tape, finding out who to blame, who to praise. That seems to be, you know, a necessary thing nowadays. People are really into the play calling stuff, the review of the tape, etc. He has his, what's it called, Joe, on CBS 47. What's the name of the show? He's got his smart board. That's the main thing.
Right.
He goes to his smart board and he shows you why they screwed up. And Jeff was at it all day today, and he shares that information with me, and I appreciate it very much. I accumulate information. I talk to this birdie, and I talk to that birdie, and I talk to Jeff, and I put it all together, and then I try to give you, you know, a compilation of that, some kind of a cross-section of the information I get. But anyhow, 7 o'clock tonight, Jeff and his smart board are on CBS 47T. All access, that's it. So watch him. You'll like it. Joe, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Ed in Orange Park. Good evening, Ed.
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
Good.
The thing that really depresses me the most is I just can't see the fight in them. I don't know. It seemed like last year watching that game, I've been a season ticket holder forever. And, I mean, it was... You know, losing like that makes the game hotter, makes, you know, it just uncomfortable to be there, and I just didn't see the fight. I'm not a wins.
Okay, let me stop you. Let me stop you, Ed.
The wins are going to be there.
Let me stop you, Ed, because I think you're off. I think you're off base on this one. In fact, gee, I don't know how you couldn't notice that down 31-3, they fought back. At 31-17, Ed, at 31-17, the Cardinals, Ken Wisenhunt, had Kurt Warner warming up. The Jaguars were about to force Ken Wisenhunt to put old man Kurt Warner back in the game. Now, I mean, come on. That has to be acknowledged. I don't know what you're looking for. You know, if I was a head coach, I'd probably tell my guys, okay, guys, after every tackle, get up and throw your arms around and do a double chin strap pull and act angry because the fans like that, and that makes them think that you're really trying hard even if you aren't. Come on. That's not what we're looking for here. We're looking for something genuine. Jeff Loggeman told me this afternoon, he said, you know, I saw something on that tape today that I didn't see last year. And he told me, he said it was fight, it was grit, it was determination, it was try hard to the final gun until time expired. Did we see that last year in Houston, the Monday night game, was it? Remember when late in the game, Slayton ripped off a long touchdown run. You could tell they quit on it. You could tell they quit on it. Do you see any of that on Sunday? I didn't. I saw a team that was down 31-3 and was on the verge of being humiliated, and they fought back with 7 minutes and 11 seconds to go. Yeah, and I got the play-by-play here, so I can go. Yes, it was 7-11. Mike Sims Walker scores on a 19-yard touchdown pass from David Garrard. And the Cardinals are getting tight over on the sideline. The Jaguars follow that score by throwing a three and out at the Cardinals, and the Jaguars get the ball back with 6:06 to play at their 38-yard line. And they've got a shot now to cut this thing to one score. Third and 13 from the Arizona 31 after Garrard hits Mike Sims-Walker with a 34-yard completion. The Jaguars are now looking at 3rd and 13 at the Arizona 31. Garrard throws the ball for Nate Hughes in the end zone through his hands. 4th and 13, Garrard throws the ball, hits Nate Hughes in the head. If either one of those is caught, it's 31-24. Kurt Warner is back in the game, and we got a ball game. That's not fight? Sorry, Ed, not this time. I'm not buying it this time. Keith at the beach would like to talk about Nate Hughes. Good evening, Keith.
How did Nate Hughes go from being raved about all through OTAs and camp and in the starting rotation to being dadgum cut today? And by cutting him, aren't you telling on yourself that you guessed wrong on the guy? And on the first touchdown pass that was thrown to him, or the first attempt, his arm was pulled. The second one, yeah, there should have been the face mask. Mm-hmm. But how do you go from being raved about all through camp, mm-hmm. being in the starting rotation, being open twice in the end zone, as you just said, to win the game, or not to, to make the... Make
okay,
the
I've heard all that. All right, how do you feel about David Garrard? Are you for him or against him?
I agree with your assessment a while ago of, you know, you can't allow him to run back a blocked field goal attempt. There's other issues there that Garrard had nothing to do with.
Okay, so you're in David Garrard's corner, right?
Cornerback.
You're in David's corner? Cut it, that's all. I just wanted to get a yes or a no. At least Keith is consistent. He sounds like he's in David Garrard's corner. So, you know, it's okay to be in Nate Hughes' corner. I understand. How does a guy go from being raved about all through OTAs, all through training camp? Yeah, okay, I understand. Now, I can tell you how it happened. Klein went the trolley, all right? Ball goes through your hands. A ball hits you in the head. Those aren't good things. It's not as though Nate is Jerry Rice. It's not as though he is someone who... It's not as though he's Santonio Holmes coming off an MVP performance in the Super Bowl. And by the way, Santonio Holmes dropped the game winner yesterday right through his hands, almost an identical play to the one Nate Hughes, the first of the two Nate Hughes dropped in the end zone here yesterday. Santonio Holmes, the Super Bowl MVP, right in his hands, right through his hands. It would have been the game winner. So it does happen. It happens to the best of them. I think the intent is to re-sign Nate Hughes after he clears waivers, and he probably, almost certainly will, re-sign Nate Hughes to the practice squad. So it's not as though they've executed him. He's being demoted. I don't have a problem with that based on what happened yesterday. Now we're going to break, take our halftime break in the show, and when we come back, we'll get back to the calls, and I promise you, you will all have your say.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Just stop by Gate today. Victor will be back. Keep it right here. This is Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back, gang. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Got calls from Arlington, Westside, Orange Park, Fleming Island, even Montreal, Canada. You can get in, too. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Outside the area, 1-800-355-NFL1. Victor, it is yours.
Hey, Joe, do you know, do you have a chronology? I mean, do you know who's been on the longest? I want to get these people so that it's fair.
Yeah, go to three.
Go to three. Nathan from Fleming Island wants to talk about Mike Thomas. Nathan, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Vic? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I'm curious why Mike Thomas and Jarrett Dillard aren't playing. I think Mike Thomas looked good in the one game he played in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Jarrett Dillard showed promise.
Okay, go back. Go back to what you. Mike Thomas looked good in what?
The one game he played in the preseason.
The one game.
Right. Okay.
Okay. There's your answer, right?
All right. And my of course, Jarrett Dillard. I think he looked pretty good in the preseason with what he did.
Mm-hmm. I think the Mike, I think the or Nathan, I think the decision on Jarrett Dillard was just that they felt that Troy Williamson and Nate Hughes were better receivers than he is right now, and now the deck has been cleared for Jarrett Dillard to step in, and we're going to find out what he can do, and we're going to find out what Mike Thomas can do. I think Mike Thomas. Two guys I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised in two guys. First of all, Zach Miller is nearing the point where he's ready to play.
Uh-huh.
We're getting close to that, and I think Zach Miller is going to be a difference maker. I'm not saying he's going to put him in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying he's going to win games for them, but I think he's going to be a guy who's going to make this a better passing attack.
Right.
I think Mike Thomas is going to do that too, Nathan, because he has the ability to catch that little, you know, sideline hitch pass and do something with it, you know, yards after the catch.
Right. I also wanted to know why Ernest Wolford isn't getting the ball, because I know when he played in the preseason with the one, I mean, he only got one pass, I think, but it was a good yardage, and, you know, he was good when he was here before. I just I'm curious why he's not getting the ball either.
For the same reason he didn't get it in Miami, you know. I think you have to acknowledge that. Ernest is a favorite of all. He's a favorite among all of us, because he's a great guy, and he overachieved here. He played well above his side speed strength, you know, numbers. He played above the expectations of a fourth round pick. But this team, he doesn't make you faster. You put him in the game, and you don't get faster. And that's what this team wants to do. It wants to get faster. It's not looking for guys with intangibles. It's looking for guys with tangibles. They need to get bigger, stronger, faster. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to be delicate about this because we all like this guy a lot, but he's not what they're looking for in the way of a foundation for the future. Who's next? Line one is Trevor. Trevor in Montreal. Trevor is gone, Joe. Is this Trevor?
How are you, Vic?
I'm fine, Trevor. How are you? How's everything in Montreal, Canada?
Great. Getting ready for hockey season.
So that's what it's about, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Listen, Vic, I just wanted to say, for starters, like, just to agree with your point about quarterbacks that are under pressure. I mean, look what Brady did. And now look at him. He's not the same right now.
And why? Why?
Because he's under pressure.
You got it.
He's getting hit. I'm constantly learning about the game. You know, I was only exposed to it a couple years ago when I was staying in Ponte Vedra. But my other point is the Jaguars are young. You know, we got two rookie tackles. Is this really that surprising? Like, the team's a work in progress, I think. And to start hating on Garrard, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it's not going to get anything done right now. And you're not going to fix that position. Even if it is broken, you're not going to fix it right now. Now, I can tell you that if you asked me, should the Jaguars draft a quarterback next year? Absolutely. I think they should do whatever it takes to jockey into position to pick one where he falls in the rankings, to put themselves in a position to draft a young quarterback. This team hasn't drafted a quarterback since Byron Leftwich in 2003. Can you imagine that? I mean, I wrote that about a month ago. The Jaguars haven't drafted a quarterback since 2003. That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ludicrous. And they have, during that time, passed on Brady Quinn. They have passed on Joe Flacco. They have passed on Chad Henne. They have passed on Ben Roethlisberger. You can't ignore that position for 6 years and expect to be deep at it. And next year's draft is almost certain to see this team draft a quarterback, and I'm all for that. And then you can, if you don't like the way David Garrard is playing and you want to open it up to competition, fine. But you're not in position to do that right now. Luke McCown hasn't been around long enough to know this offense well enough to have a realistic expectation that he'd play better than David Garrard. So why crucify the guy?
And, Vic, just the other thing I wanted to say was just the way this team is, I think it's so important that we do the little things right, like special teams. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just, to me, that's one of the factors that's going to be, it's going to keep games close at least.
Yeah, what happened? Who gets the blame on the blocked field goal? Is that Scobie's fault for not getting the ball out quick enough?
That's
sarcasm. That's an attempt at sarcasm. but, yes, you got to do the little things right, like not let a field goal be blocked and returned 83 yards for a touchdown if that's a little thing. You know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, Trevor, thanks a lot. I want to get these other guys on the phone,
on
the radio.
Take care.
Who's next, Joe?
Go out to Josh in Arlington.
Hello, Josh in Arlington. How are you?
Hey, Vic. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome.
I have a couple of things I want to say. The first thing, most important, is the passion here. Mm-hmm. You know, me and my friends were walking around the whole concourse yesterday doing the Jaguars chant, you know, trying to get everybody fired up, and they're just looking at us. And then we get to the game, I get in my section, I start to stand up on defense, and people around me are telling me to sit down, can't watch the game. Mm-hmm. And when the first, you know, when the move, those Shane chants come on, they're just sitting in their stands looking at them. And I was in 410, five rows up from where the people would have the chains on. It's just getting kind of pathetic. And then halftime, everybody leaves.
I'm more concerned about something else. You're right. You're right. I understand. You are an energetic young Jaguars fan, and that's great. But I'm concerned about something else because, Josh, this is professional football, and it's professional football is about the money.
Right.
The passion is very nice, but the passion is best when it is accompanied by money, you see. And what I saw yesterday were a lot of empty seats, which translates into lost revenue. Every seat in that stadium has a dollar sign on it. It has a dollar figure on it. Every seat in that that stadium represents a specific revenue amount that the team considers an expectation of revenue, of gain. And when you have an empty seat, that dollar amount that is imaginarily written on the back of that seat is lost. It's just like taking that amount of money and throwing it in the river. And when you have, in this case, 20,000 of those seats unsold. Forget about turnstile count. Turnstile count, I believe, was 38,253. Forget about that. Let's just deal with tickets distributed, which was 46,000 something, which is 20,000 below capacity, which means that 20,000 seats had a dollar sign on them, and whatever that dollar sign, whatever that amount was, it was lost. Now, there's your danger. That's your danger. These franchises are not built on empty seats. They're not built on lost revenue. They are built on the idea of 100% capacity. What's the expectation of a hotel? 80% capacity? These aren't hotels. The expectation here is for 100% capacity. And Wayne Weaver can say all he wants and will say all he wants. This is Jacksonville's team, and that's all fine. And I believe Wayne, but I think we all understand that if this continues, and this is the biggest worry I have, Josh, is that likely yesterday's game will be the biggest crowd of the year. Now think about that. It's very, very possible. It's likely that will be the largest crowd of the season. That's not good. Okay?
For one more?
Sure. Be quick, because I got some other calls. Be quick.
Everybody's calling for, Garrard, because he always dumps it off to whether it's Mojo or whoever in the backfield. Mm-hmm. But they want Tebow. Have they seen Tebow play? He runs the option offense.
Okay, let me get to that question after we come back from a break. Thanks, Josh.
All right, guys. Good calls.
We're great.
Fans, here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make JaguarsSearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. JaguarsSearch.com. Vic will be back. You want to get in? 355-NFL1. This is Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back, gang. Did you know that you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week? Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. That's all part of the First Down Touchdown Teachers. Just visit communityfirstfl.org for all of the details. Phone lines are screaming, Victor. 355-NFL1 is the number. You're on.
This is the lightning round. We're going to try to get everybody on the air tonight. I'm going to ask you to please be very quick with what you want to say. And let's start with
John.
John in Daytona. Hi, John. Hi, John.
Hi, Vic. How are you doing?
Good. Be quick, please, John.
Yes, well, actually, just to make my point really quickly, when I was on hold, I heard the Baptist Health commercial, and it said the best offense is sometimes a good defense, and I think that just proves the point. We can't blame Gerard because he wasn't out on the field for the block kick. Mm-hmm. And you can't blame them for allowing 92.3% of the passes to be completed.
That's
and I just
right.
don't understand why he's being blamed. And same thing in Indianapolis last week with all the dropped passes.
The reason, John, is it's easy. It's the easy thing to do. Blame the coach. Blame the quarterback. They're the ones who are in charge, ostensibly. They're the ones who get the big buck. They are the high-profile players. High profile people in your franchise, so they become lightning rods for criticism. It's up to both now, up to Jack Del Rio and David Gerard to stand strong. That's part of their challenge. That's part of the job description, to stand strong in the face of adversity, and just keep taking it on the chin and taking it on the chin until you get this thing reversed, until you get the fortunes going the other way. And with that, John, I'm going to move on to, how about Tim in St. Augustine? Tim.
Yeah, I'll just make it quick. Inevitably, this falls back on the coach. Mm-hmm. And I feel as though it's time to start looking at that. It seems like every year we're trying to figure out why we're having problems, and it just inevitably falls back on the coach. I'll hang up and let you comment.
You're right. It's inevitably it falls back on the coach. It's his responsibility. I don't think that after week two, I don't think on September the 21st, 2 weeks into your season, it's time to start looking at that. Frankly, I don't think it's going to be time to look at that when this season is over. This is a team in rebuilding. This coach was signed to a long-term contract. I think it's time to stay the course, see where this thing goes. It's going to be a couple years before this team is going to be ready, you know, to reach up to the higher level. That's my opinion. And I just don't think it's time now to start, you know, throwing everything up in the air. I don't think it's time to flail around, spin out of control. It's time to be calm. Just let's see where this goes. Let's see where these young players go. Let's see what this coach does with these young players. We have time for a few more. Let's get them in. Let's talk to John in Keystone. Hello, John. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
It was a good follow-up. I was waiting for somebody to say exactly what they just said. Because yesterday there was a comment on the post show of one of your guys made the comment about maybe that should be a situation we should consider is replacing the coach. Mm-hmm. And I was really upset. It's also been the talk on other radio shows, even naming who should replace him. And I think that this guy is really dedicated to this team, and it really upset me.
I agree. And let me give you some more thoughts on that. First of all, it's easier for me to say what I have said to express this patience, to express this this understanding of where they are, the way things are going, because my expectations going into this season were very low. I think I let that be known. I think I expressed that now. You know, I expressed that all during the offseason. I mean, when you experience the turnover that this team has experienced, your expectations should be low. When you cut a Tony Paschos and to play a rookie, you're making a statement. The statement is we're in a youth movement. We are looking to the future. When you cut a Brian Williams to start a rookie, you're saying we're in a youth movement. This is not about this year. It's about all the years after this year. I've covered teams. This isn't the first team I've covered that has done this. I've covered many, many teams that have been in youth movements. In other words, I've covered years that have been youth movement years. And you have to recycle every so often. Jaguars today cut Nate Hughes, Greg Estandia, and they signed a couple of defensive backs, William Middleton and Courtney Green. Courtney Green is a safety. I don't think I have ever covered a team that has claimed, signed, acquired, whatever, more safeties in 1 year than this team. I mean, if there has ever been a case of a team that has proclaimed that they are looking for talent regardless of position, there's very little roster composition here. You know, this team had a bunch of wide receivers on the roster, and now they've cut that down, and now they got a bunch of safeties. If you are a player, if they believe you are a talent and you're someone who can serve their future, they will acquire you. They don't care what position you play. And I think that says everything we need to know. This team is looking for players. With that, we're going to throw dirt on another episode of Jaguars Monday.
And it's a good one.
And I do mean throw dirt. And of course, we've got a large pile of dirt, ladies and gentlemen, for this season. I think there are going to be more shows like this one. And then I think along the way, especially as we get toward the second half of the season, there are going to be some shows some that aren't going to be like this show. They're going to be positive shows. So why don't you hang in all season and see where this goes. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Don't forget, tomorrow night at 6, the Jack Del Rio Show. Vic will be back with Brian and Jeff for Jaguars This Week on Wednesday. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.